What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 9th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr.
Greg, I finished the last episode of Tiger King last night.
How do you feel?
I feel disgusting. Everybody in that show sucks.
Yeah. Every time you think you find somebody who might be redeemable, they're not redeemed all that much. You know what I mean?
I don't know if there's one redeemable character in that show or person like in that whole documentary series.
How pissed do you think Carol Baskins is that she had to put up with Joe Exotic being all up in her business all the time, doing a lot of things, crossing a lot of lines, saying a lot of horrible things, but then also not only reigniting, pouring gasoline and then a nuclear bomb on this conversation that she killed her husband.
Oh, legit, like by episode, I think it was like episode two or three where they spent the whole time focusing on Carol Baskin. And the whole time I was like, oh wow, this took a turn. Is this whole show going to be about Carol Baskin? And then they just like took a left turn. They're like, no, we're back on Joe Exotic now. But the whole last half of that show, I was like, are we just going to ignore the fact that Carol Baskin might have killed her husband? Are we just gonna let that slide?
The world will not let it slide for sure. That's going on. And then I saw a great tweet the other day from somebody who's just like, "All right, cool. Now that we're all done with Tiger King, can we get a documentary about the Doc and his weird cult of job women?"
Oh my god!
Like, what the fuck? How did we just let that slide too?
Yeah, every episode was just something different and unique. Did you see that they might do like a sequel series?
No, I didn't see that.
Which I think that was announced somewhere. It's not going to be on Netflix, but on a different channel, they're going to do a sequel series. And I don't know if they've detailed any about what it's going to be about. Yeah. But I want to know more about Doc. I guess I don't really need to know more about Carol Baskin at this point. But then I also want to know about, I can't remember his name, but the guy who took over the zoo.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Because he seems like he has some fascinating... Yeah, the biker dude.
He's lived a life. Blessing, he's lived a life, for sure.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, I had heard, and this is all rumors that I've followed up on it. Not at all. Number one, I'd heard that they were going to put one more episode up on Netflix of Tiger King. They had something going on. And then today on IGN, I saw a headline that Rob Lowe and somebody else are trying to get the rights to do a Tiger King like dramatization or something. But who knows? You know what I mean?
Entertaining show, though. I enjoyed myself watching it.
Other than that, are you well? I only talk to you on camera because even before we go live, we sit here in this like awkward thing where we talk to Kevin, but we don't talk too much to each other. And it's like, I don't know if you like me.
I hate everybody, Craig.
Cool.
I love all you guys. I'm doing good. Yeah. I'm chilling. I've been playing a lot of Call of Duty the last 2 days, which is a thing that I don't usually do.
Sure.
But I, for some reason yesterday, I was like, man, I want to play a first person shooter because I've been playing Siege, as I've been talking about on the podcast. And Siege is one of those games where it's very tactical. You don't get that many kills during a match. Because it is like last man standing, or you're trying to like escort the hostage out or do whatever. It's objective based. And so yesterday I was like, man, you know, I don't get that many kills in Siege because there's not really that many kills to get. I just want to like run around and just like have a good old time and shoot things. And then it popped in my mind that like, oh yeah, Call of Duty is a game that exists. And so yesterday I hopped into Call of Duty and I've just been playing that nonstop. And it's been like the most relaxing thing, weirdly enough.
Now, have you heard about this game called The Division 2? Because I was playing that last night. And let me tell you, that also has you running around shooting things. You could play that. I also played Borderlands 3 for a while last night. Both games you could play with me and Kevin.
True. But I want that competitive.
Speaking of me, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking, guys.
We are going to get to it because we're going to transition to see if you would download the Division 2 Warlords of New York yet. Have you yet, Kevin?
I'm too busy getting a new nail gun.
Oh.
You can't see it because it keeps... But whatever.
Well, it's got to be turned on, right, too?
What?
I mean, I can see it, I guess, but like it's just like that sounds like a staple. Please don't turn it on. Please don't turn it on in the middle of this. Please. Please don't use this nail gun in the middle of the intro. All right. In fact, let's just transition out of this. Today we're gonna talk about Cyberpunk isn't delayed. Valorant is popular. And is it time for the MTV of gaming? Because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your concerns, your squad up requests, and everything under the video game sun. Plus, you can get the show ad-free. You can get it with the exclusive post show. You can help us take care of our bills at patreon.com/kindafunnygames. If you have no bucks to toss away, though, no big deal. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. It is Thursday, which means that today, Nick Scarpino is starting his second part of his Last of Us playthrough. The first time he's ever played. This is over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames at 2 p.m. Pacific time. I saw a lot of comments going around, some scuttlebutt on the internet and the subreddits and stuff. Remember, the way we're doing this is we're doing the streaming of it is like a live recording of it, and then we're going to put up one giant video on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames later. So if you want to watch it piecemeal, you need to be over on Twitch or tweet at Tim Geddes, who makes these decisions, because I just come on the camera and make gold. Right, Blessing?
Exactly. How's that going, by the way? How was part one?
I missed it. Not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I thought it might be a struggle because it's and this isn't even like, let's put down the characters. You know what I mean? Let's just not even do it. I'm not even guffawing at Nick. Like, it is that thing of like, man, I don't know how Nick's sensibilities, especially coming off of like Doom Eternal, right, are going to mash up with Last of Us. And he's doing great. He's having a great time with it. He's not struggling. He's getting all the systems, you know. That first, when I think of The Last of Us, and I think of your first challenge, you remember what I'm talking about here, where you drop in that office building in Boston, it's you, Ellie, and Tess, and it's like the first time you actually have to like sneak stealth around and stuff. He got through it in a couple tries, no problem. Like, in his death count, his death count is what? He has 5 deaths and 1 pee break right now after 3 hours of gaming. So that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, so I'll see what happens today as it increases. You know what I mean? My noodle man says, did Nick find a brick?
Greg, I got good news. The air compressor is going. Well, I'll have it on in a second.
Okay, Kevin, thank you. Just keep it away from your temple, please. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo. Al Tribesman, the Predator for some reason. Nobody understands that one anymore. And Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by Manscaped, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 3 items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
I was really afraid when Kevin came on to do the jingle or the baker's dozen part, it was going to end like a this nail gun going off in the air. Paula screaming and running from the room. Number one on the Roper Report, everybody can relax. Cyberpunk is on track. This is Andy Chalk from PC Gamer. The coronavirus outbreak has knocked a lot of plans off track. Conferences have been canceled, hardware has grown more scarce and expensive, and games and updates have been delayed. But one company that's staying the course, for now at least, is CD Projekt Red, which said in a 2019 overview released today that despite the shift to working from home, the scheduled September release date for Cyberpunk 2077 remains on target. Quote, there is no shortage of motivation, and we all possess all the tools we need, all the tools needed to facilitate remote work. We've been operating in this mode for over 3 weeks, and to date, results confirm that we can carry on with all our operations without major disruptions, CD Projekt Group President and CEO Adam Kaczynski said. Quote, our plans haven't changed. We're steaming towards the September release of Cyberpunk. It's impossible to say right now how the optimism will hold up. September 17th, Cyberpunk 2077's current release date is still far enough away that an on-schedule release is feasible, but it's impossible to say at this point how the COVID-19 outbreak will progress. If developers are forced to continue working from remote deep into the summer, it could force another delay. In March, for instance, Bethesda delayed the release of Fallout 76 Wastelanders update because working from home, quote, has affected our ability to do the final testing we need, end quote. CD Projekt has a longer run-up to release, but Cyberpunk 2077 is a much larger and more complex endeavor. CD Projekt also reported that 2019 was a very good year overall, with sales revenues up 44% over 2018 to $125 million as The Witcher 3, which is now 5 years old, somehow continues to kill it. Blessing.
Yep.
Is this lip service? Is it just what they think now? Is Cyberpunk 2077 going to get delayed again?
I think this is what they think now, but also I'm not of the mind that it is going to get delayed. Like, I think the right now we just don't know. In terms of what they're saying here, this sounds to me like working from home doesn't really affect their pipeline that much. It sounds like they're confident that in terms of readiness that they'll be good to go. But I don't know how confident they can be in terms of what we've seen with Last of Us Part 2 and Iron Man VR, and how you can't really print CDs when nobody's there to, or when you can't show up to the off or to the wherever to like print CDs. Say what happens if say ESRB shuts down or something like that. We talked about this recently. Where
ESRB said they've been very clear that lately. I saw a headline going around yesterday, like, we're not gonna, nothing's getting delayed. We've been on top of it so far. Like, all right.
Yeah, because we saw the Japanese rating board get shut down the other day, which means, and they're shut down for a month, which means there's gonna be a month of backup in terms of getting games rated, which then is going to push games in that way. There are so many cogs in the machine that I think right now it's hard to say confidently whether or not you are going to make your day, especially when we don't know when this thing is going to blow over. That said, I have confidence that that in terms of readiness and in terms of development and where they're at in their schedule, that they'll probably be fine to like get the, have the game ready to go, whether or not the game is going to be able to come out by that time, by September. We'll see.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing about this is that they can be very clear, right, that they're operating in this mode. Our plans haven't changed. We're going towards the September release. The thing that gets in the way of that, right, is what you're talking about, is this domino effect. It does become what Naughty Dog seems to be going through or has gone through here, right, where, no, Last of Us is going to be ready for the date we said it was going to be, but the world isn't. We're, you know, we're not going to be able, like you're saying, QA testing with PlayStation. We're not going to be able to get rating. We're not going to be able to get the supply chain ironed out. We're not going to be able to, you know, there's so many different, as you said, cogs in this machine that even if CD Projekt is like, you know what? No, we're nailing it. Our system works. We know how much work this game needs, and we're confident we're going to hit it and be ready to have a gold master disc. That's great, but will manufacturing be there? You know, again, like you brought it up of like, the delays in Japan in terms of just rating a game, think about the delays in the production pipeline of these things, where it is going to come out and then a game that was supposed to go into production in March, early April or something now is suddenly pushed back into May. What does that do in the domino effect of getting everything out that way?
Yeah, no, that was my next point, right? Last was getting delayed and seemingly Ghost of Tsushima probably being delayed and pretty much all the big games that are coming out before September likely being delayed. Like, what does that do in terms of Cyberpunk and where it kind of stands in that domino effect and in that line of games, big games that are coming out this year? Like, does that then push that game, or do games get shuffled around in a way where Cyberpunk takes priority because it's a bigger game? Or, and I don't really think that's how that's going to work.
Yeah, and that's the big question. And I think CD Projekt Red and CD Projekt in particular, CD Projekt Group have always been, and granted, I don't know everyone there personally or anything, but from the people I know and the way they handle their business, they're straight shooters in the way of like, you know, they aren't out there trying to grab your money. They're not out there trying to kill you with microtransactions. They've always been, we're trying to make gamer first moves, right? We think of the audience at the end of this, right? When there is a controversy that pops up, they do address it head on. They don't try to word salad it and get out of it, right?
Yeah.
This year, I take as, yes, they have all of their emotions and plans and where they think they're going is that they are still targeting that September date. However, there's so many things out of their control that I think it'll be interesting to see if they actually hit it.
Yeah. Good on them for The Witcher 3, though. Seeing that The Witcher 3 is still killing it. I know we talked about this recently with The Witcher show coming out on Netflix and that then giving the game a boost and the game rising to the top of Steam or like breaking its own concurrent player records on Steam. But yeah, seeing these numbers, seeing that, like, man, Witcher 3 is still I don't want to use the word sustaining them because that sounds like without Witcher 3 killing it that they wouldn't be still around. But like, seeing Witcher 3 break through or continue to break through and continue to still, you know, sell like crazy, like, that's insane. And I want to see how Cyberpunk does. And if it does similarly, like, what does that do for the studio? What does that do for their future output?
That's a fascinating question, right? Because I've said before when we've talked about Witcher 3 and talked about CD Projekt Red, right, that Witcher 3 was their breakout. And I know a lot of people, when I say that, pop up and like, well, no, Witcher 2 and Witcher 1 were super. And I'm like, yes, they were successful on the PC. I'm talking about, though, the numbers that is put on the board, the fact that it's still selling so much this year, the fact that there's a show about it, even though that wasn't directly related to just the video game. You are talking about the fact that Witcher 3 put them into a different league. And so now this is the first test. And I think in a very similar way of when Naughty Dog did The Last of Us, they were coming off the Uncharted's, and it was, I remember, a question for me, at least in the mainstream games and how many units The Last of Us would sell. Do people who casually consume games, have a PlayStation, like these, you know, narrative experiences, remember how great the Uncharted commercials were with Kevin Butler, right? Where they were talking about, like, it looks like a movie and everything else. Like, Uncharted broke through to a bunch of different people. did they understand that Naughty Dog meant something, that that label, that like when you see that logo pop up on your screen when you start a game, that that means quality. And I think with Last of Us, you clearly see that they did. They were able to come out and successfully crush this new IP. And so now to go to, again, I know I'm always pissing off book people and board game people, come to a new video game IP that people aren't, that not everybody has a connection to with Cyberpunk, right? But have it be, it's from the creators of The Witcher 3. It's from CD Projekt Red. Like, how much will that matter? How much will that resonate?
Yeah.
And then, Bless, I think the other interesting thing about this is that I saw, again, now that everything's weird and it's a brand new world, I like to occasionally glance over at the Twitch chat, which I wouldn't do back in the studio. But somebody in there was like, I don't know, you know, how much you have to worry about the physical pipeline because CD Projekt cares so much about their PC audience, right? And they are a downloadable thing. I don't fully agree. I think every company has to worry about how many units they're going to sell, how many millions of copies they're going to sell, and the promotion you get in a store, and yada, yada, yada. You are still worrying about your bottom line. But I do think it's an interesting question that, or even proposition, that CD Projekt is so on their own in such a bootstrap success story and crazy that I could see them, if it was that, hey, the discs aren't going to be ready in time, I could see them totally writing a giant letter and putting it out and being like, hey guys, this sucks because of COVID, because of this, but we also don't want to make you wait any longer for this. We're going to put out as a digital, we're going to put the collector's editions and actual game cases out when we can, and maybe it's 2 month delay or whatever for that. But I could see them being enough like, we, this game means so much to us, we want to get it to you, and we hope that you, if you're a physical person, you will buy it when it is physically out there. But yeah, we understand
that.
That'd be crazy. That'd be bold.
That'd be crazy. But it's an interesting proposition because CD Projekt Red, they're not necessarily owned by like a bigger entity, right? It's not like Naughty Dog, where Naughty Dog's owned by Sony.
Yeah, they don't have like a parent company like that. They don't have like PlayStation on top of them.
Yeah, like I know there's CD Projekt Red, and then above them is CD Projekt.
CD Projekt Group, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if I don't think there's anything above CD Projekt Group in terms of like a bigger entity that needs this game to do this many units
if they have a parent company, how their investors all break down, right? Yeah,
exactly. And so from that idea, then yeah, I could see them possibly going digital only first and then releasing physical later. But at the same time, Cyberpunk is poised to be such a big game this year that staggering the releases and splitting up those numbers, I feel like it's a risk. But at the same time, like, once again, we look at the Witcher 3 numbers and we see how good Witcher 3 is doing right now. And you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line, does Cyberpunk's staggered release then affect it? I mean, I, given the Witcher numbers, I would think that in the long run that works out for them.
Oh yeah, but that's the question too, of like, how long do you want to let it be? How long? Yeah. I mean, do you want that? People want their return investment right away, right? They of course want they want a return on their investment. They want a giant return on their investment. They want all this different thing. They want, you know, an ability to not only make their money back, but make their money back hand over fist, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out if anybody owns it. Because right now, Steve Gerbs in the chat says, CD Projekt Red is owned at least partially by the Polish government, which I'm unfamiliar with. Mm-hmm. But that could be true, I guess. I'm looking in here, right?
And right, I know WB that published The Witcher 3 in certain territories.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they have any hand in Cyberpunk.
They have two owners listed on Wikipedia that are just the guys that are technically that's three owners. And that would come up to just over 50%. So they're still, they are the majority owners. I don't think they, and they're traded as a public company. I don't see anybody in here in terms of like fucking Tencent owns 20% of them, or something like that. So I think, yeah, that they could be crazy enough to do it on their own, is basically what I'm saying. But
well, who knows? Where do you feel like the odds are in terms of Cyberpunk getting delayed?
It's so hard to say, right? Because we're still in the middle of this storm. You know, Tamor from GameSpot had an amazing tweet yesterday that I think we all feel, right? And it was me. Man, it's already Wednesday. Also me. How is it only Wednesday? Like, time just lost all meaning, right? And the fact that you figure a month ago we were still working in the office. Like, we were still, like, you know,
was that a month ago?
Normal, right? Yeah.
It was totally like wrong at this point, legit, I was sitting down.
Yeah, I'm gonna figure out where the office.
It was either last night or this morning. I can't tell anymore. Yeah. But I was sitting down. I was like, man, at a certain point, I might have worked. Like, I might hit the point where I work for Kinda Funny from home more so than in the studio. Like that might be a thing.
So sad. That is so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so who knows? Like, I don't know. It's so easy now. I could easily see it happening, but again, to what we're talking about, I could also see it that you weather this storm. You know, the world economy starts getting back on track in the beginning of May, and then throughout the summer we normalize to where it normally is, and then yeah, by September maybe everything's firing the way it should be, and you're fine. But it is that question of how much are we not seeing right now? You know, we see the tip of the iceberg of PlayStation, be like, all right, we're pushing back The Last of Us and Iron Man indefinitely, but we also don't see what that means for manufacturing of discs. We don't see that for shipping. We don't know how fucked up the supply chain is and how many people start pushing into that stuff.
Yeah. Follow-up question. Yeah. This is totally unrelated, but related. What are the chances that you think Cyberpunk comes out and it doesn't meet expectations?
Great question. I don't worry about that. I think, obviously, expectations is such a hard thing to throw out there. Like, what does that mean? You know, in terms of everybody has a different expectation for it. Those demos I've seen at E3, if you can extrapolate those out into an entire game, I think you're going to be fine. And I don't think they've overpromised in a way that they haven't backed up, if that makes sense. Like, you watch it and you're like, oh, cool. This is, you know, it reminds you of a Fallout RPG, but with better combat, but it's not still not like this. It's not Call of Duty combat, but it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It
feels good. It's an RPG still.
Yeah, exactly. And so like, I think if you're delivering on that and you're giving me the choice and the ability and the backstory and all that stuff, The way I could see it falling down is if it wasn't big enough. You know what I mean? They can't live up to the ideas where it is like, you know, there are no, you know, how the whole thing is like you can make all these different choices and they'll say all these different things. And if we start getting those comparison videos, that's not happening, right? If it turns out that everybody's expecting this to be some giant sweeping thing like The Witcher 3 was, right? But then you get it and it is only 20 hours, right? Like, I don't know. Obviously, anything's possible and we've been burned before, but I feel like CD Projekt Red's got a great head on their shoulders for what they're doing here. And I think they know from what they've shown before what they're doing. What do you think?
I mean, I'm pretty confident. It's the game that I'm most looking forward to this year, which is also the thing that kind of fills me with a bit of fear if it comes through and it becomes Red Dead Redemption 2 for me. Because I played Red Dead Redemption 2, yeah, and I wasn't really feeling it all that much. Like, I at a certain point, I was like, okay, this is not...
A man of taste right there, everybody.
Yeah, it just wasn't what I was looking for out of a game. Whereas Cyberpunk, setting-wise, does more for me. And then also, like, knowing it's... I mean, it being an RPG also does more for me. But I don't know, part of me is scared that it becomes another Red Dead Redemption 2 situation for me. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I jump in and I'm like, no, this game is, like, technically magnificent. This game... like, looks beautiful, the writing is great, all this stuff, but all the pieces just don't come together for me. That's like my one fear for it. But even that, like, I'm pretty confident that I'm gonna enjoy that game.
See, I guess, and this is not a great comparison, I guess, but stick with me because it burns people. But when Kevin and I went and saw No Man's Sky, we left knowing what No Man's Sky was, and we're excited for No Man's Sky for what it was. Whereas I think the people who listened to the interviews or just saw a trailer got crazy about it. Seeing the demos of what I saw for Cyberpunk, I'm like, yeah, give me more of that. Give me hours of that. And going in and, you know, tweaking the way the HUD looks on your screen and choosing your back. Like, what I kept saying about it and still do is that I feel when I play most RPGs, right, I almost always make Taylor Swift or Carve Supergirl, right? And I just play the good path, and that's what it is. Everything they've shown about Cyberpunk makes it look like such a gray world where the choices aren't good or bad, aren't, you know, black or white, that I really do feel like this is going to be the first time that I go in there and model the character after somebody, but still go like, okay, cool. This is a real role-playing game for me where I am going to make choices based on how I actually feel, not on the, well, this is clearly what a good guy would do. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
how you pissed me off or what you did or how you acted in this situation. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want. And then seeing how, you know, you're changing your own build out of your body with all the cyberpunk additions and things like that. Like, that seems like an awesome world to get lost in a system to get lost in if it all pays off. And then, yeah, for the combat in there, like the combat, you know, for me, when I play a Fallout, that's like always like the clunkiest thing where it's like, all right, fine, whatever. But like, VATS gets around it. from what I've seen here, it does look so awesome. Like when she has that, I don't know if you've seen it, but when she, the character, whoever you're playing as, has that like neon rope that it looks like you're gonna choke people with, but then they use it as like a whip and slice people's like fucking arms off and shit. I'm like, that looks, yeah, that looks like fun to play. And that's the thing is, like, you know, my problem with Red Dead was that I just felt like I didn't like Arthur Morgan and there was no way for me to change it, right? Like there was no, and that's okay to an extent because obviously they're trying to tell me a story, like same thing with Last of Us, but they just made him such an unappealing character. Whereas with this, even if it is that I'm a gutter rat, street trash, whatever, and I pick that up and I start playing as that character, the choices I start making will then make that character feel more or less like it. You know, as Arthur Morgan, I was making choices I felt in game that should have got me in trouble with Dutch or should have changed the way the world perceived me, but they didn't. And so that was kind of the thing of like, all right, well, I'm just cast as this character. There's nothing I can do about it. Like with this one, it feels like honestly the world should, and I guess this is where I could fail again. The world should be reacting to what I'm doing, whether it is just the nice close circle, right, of like talking about how this crap happened.
Yeah. And that's kind of the thing I'm looking forward to is one of my favorite RPG series is Fallout. Right. And Fallout 3, I love Fallout 4. I think I enjoyed Fallout 4 more than most people because I really, really dug it. Even though, like, it seems like most, like, I'm not going to say most, but it seems like a large amount of people kind of felt underwhelmed by it compared
to the thing about Fallout games. Right. Fallout 4, like, I enjoyed and platinum and had a great time with and put down, but it was the thing that Fallout 4 didn't make a dramatic step from Fallout 3.
Yeah.
So it was exactly what you expected of, like, I'm going to get Fallout 3, but it'll look a little bit better and run a little bit better. Yep, that's what it was. That's not something you talk about or write home about, and that's why you don't hear about it, I feel like.
Yeah, and so if I get into Cyberpunk and it is that in spirit in terms of me having my own character and building my own story and going at my own pace and doing my own thing and experiencing all these different other characters in this cool Cyberpunk world, if it's that mixed with then, like, Deus Ex, which is another series that I love, right? Like Deus Ex, Human Revolution, and Mankind Divided. I absolutely love those games. Yeah. And so if it has those elements of, you know, this cool futuristic world that has like weird politics stuff going on and illustrations about like class disparity and all this other stuff. Like if I'm able to go into this game and it delivers on giving me the best of both those worlds, then that's really all I kind of want from it at this point.
Yeah. Worth pointing out in kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. There's been a couple of people writing in saying Steve Jobs is wrong. Blood Moose 11 says CD Projekt Red is not owned by the Polish government, even in part. They got a $7 million grant to research seamless multiplayer and city creation. So just a grant. Wow. It looks like they are still owned and operated and don't have to worry about that stuff. But again, keep them coming if we figure it out.
Is Playdead a Polish studio?
I forget where Playdead is.
Because Playdead also gets
them. This is like the third podcast.
Yeah, no, I bring them up all the time. But Playdead also gets grants from the government for game development. I don't know if that's just a Polish thing.
Well, no, outside of America, it's pretty much a thing. It's the reason Canada has so many amazing indies because the Canadian government looks at these people and goes, oh, this is a great idea. Why don't you make this game and further this thing and we'll pay for it so you don't have to mortgage your house. And if it doesn't sell a bajillion copies, you're out of business. And that's why America has a huge bleed in brain power and why people keep going other places and founding studios.
Yeah, I guess the government should support our ideas instead of ourselves.
You know, socialism. Ooh. God, I hate it. You know what I mean, Kevin? Get you in a breadline right now. That's what would be happening.
Why don't we move to Montreal?
It's a great question. Well, You have to learn French.
I can learn French.
No, you can't.
It's
impossible. I've tried.
I know the basic words. Bonjour.
They're gonna laugh you out of the fucking shot.
Omelette du fromage.
Let's just go to Vancouver. Let's go to Toronto. We go to Vancouver. We hang out with Vic Lucas.
Kevin, tu parles un peu français?
Oui, je parle un peu.
See, we can get by.
We can get by for sure. We can get by for sure.
How do you say bathroom? That's all I need to know.
Bangs.
Is that accurate?
That's B-A-N-S. Yeah.
Le bon. There's an I in there too. B-A-I-N-S.
Oh, it's Le Bangs. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's not worth it, though. You know what I mean?
100%.
We should go there and we should tell them that this is silly and you should just pick English. That's what we should do.
It's weird. We'll do two. Get out of here. Just do English. You're not French.
Why?
You're
you're wasting so much time. So you know what I mean? Think of all the advancements Montreal could have made in both the biological field and technological field if they didn't have to say everything twice. They didn't have to write their signs twice. They're wasting time. Everything they've done has been halved. They could imagine it half further. You know what I mean? Look at how successful Jen's been since she came to America. You know what I mean? Well, what was she doing up there?
She started a company, exactly. You know?
Nobody knows. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm just saying.
And that company would be 2/3 more successful.
Nanobiologist says Playdead is in fact Danish. But Danish. And Charles Jacobs said Playdead is Danish. The Danish Film Institute supports them financially. Again, support the arts, ladies and gentlemen, and not just the farts. time to talk about Valorant, which means I need you, Kevin, to call up the number one games journalist, Andy Cortez. Number two on the Roper Report. What?
Can Blessing call him into the call?
I can call him if you want.
Yeah. It's just if I do it here, it breaks it even further.
Okay. So are you calling him, Bless?
I can call him, yeah.
While you do that, I'm going to give you the synopsis or just the news story here. This is a press release from... Oh, my God.
Can people who aren't leading the call people into the call?
I believe so. Because I don't see an option. As long as you're all friends. Are you not friends with Andy? It's that
little plus guy there, right? Come up here.
He might not be friends with
Andy. Add friends to DM.
There you go.
That's what you want
to
do.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay. Once you press that button, I should be able to press this one and everything's going to go smoothly.
Here we go. Let's try it. Number two, Valorant is really popular. Twitch, the world's leading service and community for multiplayer entertainment, and video game developer and publisher Riot Games, they announced the highly anticipated first-person tactical shooter Valorant broke Twitch's single-day hours watch record in a single-game category within the first hours of the closed beta launch, while also surpassing 1.7 million peak concurrent viewers, second only to the 2019 League of Legends World Cup Finals. Valorant set a new record with 34 million hours watched. Riot Games is collaborating with Twitch to entitle fans with Valorant closed beta access, which kicked off on Tuesday. Number one games journalist Andy Cortez is What's getting up, back bro? Into bed. What's up, brother? Hey, Andy.
What's going on, Greg? How you doing, man?
Good. You're super quiet.
Super quiet.
Yeah, now that's better. Wow. Yeah.
How about now? Does that sound okay now?
Yeah, it's better. You're broadcasting from
a bit muffled, but
wireless headset.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you worried about the technology.
Astro.
Why are you in bed?
I've just seen selling some turnips.
Oh, okay. Turnips. What's your turnip price today in Animal Crossing?
Not great, Greg. Not great. Yeah, we're looking at 107 right now. But Belinda Belinda's turnip price is 480 something. Apparently.
That's also garbage. I'm telling you, don't sell if it's below 500. Just tweet and you'll find it. That's what I did. I sold them for 662 over on Ants Island.
Oh, Jesus Christ, dude.
But now, are you tired because you've been staying up playing so much Valorant lately?
No, last night I got a good night of sleep, actually, Greg. I went to bed around midnight.
I stayed up later than you? Wow.
Yeah. Cool. Because last night I was exhausted. If you all, when you all watched the Final Fantasy VII spoiler cast we recorded, you will understand what happened with my whole sleep schedule.
Sure.
It was a disaster. But I'm feeling better now, Greg.
Okay. Well, so to help me a little bit with this transition then, just how you've played Valorant, right?
I've played a ton of Valorant, Greg. Yeah, a ton of Valorant.
I need your preview for it. Because, of course, the Gamescast, we've been doing the whole reviews lately. PS I Love You is a PlayStation podcast. Now we're talking about Valorant. Tell me all about Valorant. What is Valorant, number one, for people who don't know? And then what do you think of it?
Well, Valorant is Riot's take on a CSGO-style game, right? Counter-Strike Global Offensive is still... it's been around for, it feels like, 80 years. And the game still kills whenever there are giant tournaments. And so this is essentially Riot, who makes League of Legends. It's them saying, we want to make a style game like that. We want to bring in the industry's best. We want to bring in former CSGO pros. We want to bring in level designers from other games that have been killing it. And we want to take on Counter-Strike GO.
Gotcha.
CSGO. And it's essentially a 5v5 strategic sort of shooter. It's slow-paced, Greg. Obviously you've seen CSGO, but fans of Rainbow Six Siege will really enjoy it as well. It's very tactical. So essentially what their take on it, though, is they have added heroes to it. Similar to you play an Overwatch or you play, I guess, even Rainbow Six Siege. You're not just a generic operative. Each character has their own perks. Each character has their own movesets, their own abilities. They have ultimate abilities as well. But Riot is very, very straightforward in saying, we don't really want ultimates to determine the result of the match. We want pure aiming and gun skill to really determine who's going to win.
Okay.
The ultimates are just, or the abilities are just there to sort of help you along the way. It's really good so far. I've really enjoyed my time with it. It's hard as hell. It is a game that, again, I haven't been PC gaming for very long, and it's very hard to hop into a game like this because everybody playing right now are a lot of people who are super interested in CSGO or have been playing CSGO for a long time.
Okay. You going to stick with it, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just sort of this perfect storm right now where, you know, for better or for worse, there's a lot of people at home right now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people not at work. There's a lot of kids at home. That being along with all the giant Riot audience being there, or not only Riot fans, but CSGO fans and the biggest Twitch streamers are super addicted to it. The enthusiasm is real. I think I'm going to stick with it only because I feel I've wanted to jump in on a shooter like this, but to be at the ground floor level with everybody else, as opposed to when Alfredo Diaz from Achievement Hunter.
Dude, like, sucks.
When are you going to play a Rainbow Six Siege with me, Andy? I'm like, dude, that game is all map knowledge.
Of course, it is.
You need to know how to aim, too. But if you don't have the map knowledge, you're going to be lost. And, oh, I can shoot through wood. Also, I didn't know. You know, there's so many little things in that game that I feel very intimidated by. But this game, to get to learn along with everybody else, I feel very confident that I'll be dominating. Giving me, like, about 4 years. I should be pretty good by then.
All right, great. People can keep up with you, of course, on twitch.tv/AndyCortez.
Yeah, correct.
You streaming it tonight?
I will be, yeah. Bless, you in? What's going on?
I don't have the code. I don't have the in to the beta.
You copped to it and said you were too scared to ask. Here's the thing, though. Yes. Here's the really – my favorite thing about Valorant, though, Greg. Let me just throw this out really, really quick. Valorant was built from the ground up to run on really, really old machines. They are targeting just mass, right? We want even decade old specs to be able to run this game. And it's crazy because, you know, I have my work PC that Kevin built for me, and it has a GTX 1070 Nvidia card, which isn't, like, you know, it's pretty old by now. It's not super powered or anything like that. And when I play Call of Duty Warzone, which I've been addicted to as well on PC, if I try to run it at 1440p resolution, at a 144 hertz, I can maybe get like 90 frames a second, maybe 80 frames a second. But Valorant can run 60 frames or 120 frames on even 4-year-old GPUs.
Oh, wow.
That's really impressive. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So
you're saying I should be able to run it on whatever?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, they're guaranteeing that even if you have a decade old machine, you'll still probably get, you know, at least 30 frames, you know, which isn't optimal, but still, like, the fact that they are going for, hey, you with that 4-year-old Dell gaming laptop, you know, you can probably run this at, you know, either 1080p 60 or even more frames than that.
All right. That's a good report. Thank you very much, Andy. I hope you get some rest. Much needed, obviously.
Mm-hmm. No problem, guys. Call me up whenever, guys. I'm usually asleep.
Yeah, I've noticed. It's annoying having you and Fran be the ones playing this game, and then, you know, you both sleep till 3 in the afternoon.
It's no thing, man. There ain't no thing.
Okay, well, all right. Blessing, hang up on him, I guess.
All right, bye, Andy.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
I don't hang up with somebody.
Oh, god damn it. Oh, wait, does Andy have to leave? Yeah, Andy, yeah, you have to, Andy has to get out of bed.
Andy, you have to leave.
Fucking shit, dude. Oh, damn it.
Oh, man. It took me a little bit, but this setup worked out really nice.
No, yeah, you killed it, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right, bye, guys.
I've been watching you put it together. It looks great. Bye, Andy.
He's that one worked quickly, you know what I mean? Too. That's good.
Number 3.
He's pretty good, yeah.
So, are you actually going to play this game? Do you have a computer over there? Do you have to dust it off? Is it a Windows 95?
I mean,
what's happening?
I have like a couple of laptops, and I also have my work laptop right here that I can play it on. And so, like, I have a way to play it. It's just one of those things where mouse and keyboard, number one, I don't necessarily vibe with that much. I'm just a controller guy. You know, that's what I came up with. That's what I know. Exactly. And so there's that. And then, yeah, the idea of playing it on my PC sounds like,
your drivers, you know what I mean? Your dot.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
But it seems like a fun game. Like, I mean, I like Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh, sure.
I love Overwatch. And so Valorant kind of being like a meet in the middle between those two places. I know it's more so Counter-Strike than anything, but still, like, that sounds like a real fun game. And so I want to, at the very least, try it out to see how I feel about it.
Okay. Number 3 on the Roper Report, ladies and gentlemen, is it time for an MTV of gaming? This is Patrick Patrick Shanley, friend of the show over at the Hollywood Reporter. He's talking about Ven. Build is the MTV of gaming. The new crossroad platform, cross-platform offering, hopes to fill the void as majority of Hollywood productions shutter. Quote, this is an opportunity that's born from chaos. So says Ben Cousin, co-founder and co-CEO of Ven, a new network focused on the video game and streaming industries and cultures. Of his newly formed company's decision to move up its launch from this fall to July amid the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, Ven is the nexus of gaming and media, and while most industries have stagnated, these two have taken off, he tells the Hollywood Reporter. With shelter-at-home orders in place across the nation, video game and streaming usage has skyrocketed in the U.S. With Ven, Cousin, and co-founder, co-CEO Ariel Horn are hoping to fill a void left by so many Hollywood projects shuttering to make entertainment more, to make entertainment, make people happy, and offer an escape from the problems of the world. Originally set to launch in the latter half of the year, Ven, billed as the MTV of gaming, will now debut in July across various platforms, from AVOD broadcast offerings to streaming hubs such as Twitch and YouTube. Quote, it's going to be everywhere, Cousin says. We're calling it a universal network. That means that anywhere that consumers are consuming content.
What does any of this mean? Wait, so what? what do they mean that the MTV of gaming? What does that?
There's a lot over here. All right, that's the opening to it. All right, so I can come in. This is Cousin again. There was a nagging sensation that there was a void that needed to be filled in this crossover of gaming and entertainment. G4 shuttered just before the rise of gaming, and since most TV networks have been stuck negotiating carriage feeds and distribution, we're coming in with a fresh perspective and business model. That's what allowing us to go directly after this market. We believe in the model that was created back in the 90s. We believe in TV and creating that space where you can go and be with others who have the same passions as you. This is Horn. Back then, MTV used to be a... Back then, MTV used music as a lens of the pop culture. We believe if MTV were looking at the market now, they'd be looking at video games. Does that make more sense to you?
No. Wait, so is this a channel? Like, yes.
This is going to be a channel. It will also be on Twitch. It will also be on YouTube. It'll be everywhere. Anywhere you have a device, Ven wants to be.
Okay. Gotcha. So they're just like a new media service. Like a media company.
Yeah. I mean, they want to be considered, I think, a network, but that how does a network exist? They talk about how they were going to have a New York office as well, but since they're pushing the timeline up and they can't build in New York, it's just LA. This is back to Patrick. That means a cut to Ven's planned 55 hours of programming per week at launch. Instead, the network will bow with somewhere in the 30-hour range, Horn says. Once we get going and the air starts to clear from COVID, we're going to light up our New York studio and do the full release, he explains.
This sounds both like forward-looking but also archaic at the same time, like them referencing G4 and MTV specifically, like them leading off with the MTV comparison is really weird, because I still don't understand what they're driving at in terms of that. I guess they're talking about having just different shows on a channel, which is any channel.
A network dedicated to video games in the way MTV was dedicated to music. And so, like, that's a clear way to cut to what I think they're driving at here. And to your point, though, like, this whole article goes on and really doesn't get into what the programming is going to be.
Yes.
And that's where it's interesting. So, I mean, like, I think you can extrapolate from this that I imagine it will be that I guarantee, looking ahead, we will be reading headlines here of Dr. Disrespect or Ninja or whoever signed some exclusive deal where they're making a show, or they're highlighted clips, or they're making a show that is just their clips, and they'll be going on Ven. And then you'd imagine there'll be some kind of Funny Games Daily knockoff over there that is like, here's what's going on. And maybe not daily, maybe it's a weekly thing of like, and I say knockoff like we fucking invented this. We're knocking off everybody else. You know what I mean? That'll be there doing a news thing, and then there'll be a review show, and then like I can see it as I wrap my head around it. The thing about it is, though, is just like launching a network, right, that has 30 hours a week of programming doesn't sound right. That sounds
hard. It's like,
Kevin, how many hours of programming does Kind of Funny do? Kevin's good at math, and he's thinking around, and he's doing this. He's like, and he's got the nail gun. He's like, poof, poof.
Yeah, well, that's 10 hours shows at least a week. And then you add in K-pop.
70 hours.
70 hours? No way.
I just made a number up. I'm sorry.
Okay. I was going to say, because
you figure we do 3 hours of live shows.
Yes.
Roughly.
And then, like, for the morning shows, yeah.
Yeah, so
15
that's
hours right there.
15.
And then afternoon shows, which are what, like two hours a day?
Two, yeah.
And we do three of the afternoon shows,
that's
right?
That's six.
Oh, plus PS I Love
like
You.
Like four. Oh, yeah, plus, so the KF Pod, PS I Love You, Game
So we're close to the 30 there, right?
No.
Yeah.
We're like 15 at 20, to 20 right?
We're in the 20s.
Yeah.
That's close to 30.
That's a lot of content.
I know, so maybe we should sign up with Ven.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we got them covered, you know?
If you want, do you guys just want to take our 30, you or our 25, you combine that to your 30, there you are. You're at your 55 hours.
I'm curious on what their, like, I want a clearer pitch. Like, I think all this sounds so amorphous to me because we don't have an idea of what their programming is and how they, like, the idea of, hey, we're going from 0 to 100 real quick. The idea of we're going to have 30 hours of programming and not knowing what that is. It's like, all right, how do you guys plan to build a community? Is that your goal? Like, do you guys see yourselves as, like, they say MTV, but that's still, like, not a, for this being an internet thing, right? For this not being a channel on TV, it sounds like they want to be something like an IGN or like a GameSpot, you know, which sounds cool, but I don't know, to your point,
I think you nail it so well of like, it sounds both forward looking and forward thinking and archaic, because trying to attach it to TV is something that we've seen so many people move away from, right? Like YouTube and Twitch and Mixer have been the democratization of making your own content and not having to worry about getting on big networks. And we've seen them fall away and destination viewing fall away. And so the fact that they're talking so much about TV and being a network gets convoluted in the way that they're also going to have a YouTube and a Twitch page, right? Because that makes more sense of what you're trying to do. But I don't think that would generate the same kind of headlines. But maybe it would, because you figure so many people are, you know, doing what we do, right? Where it's like, hey, we're going to be on Twitch streaming, we're going to be on YouTube, and we're going to make podcasts and shows. You don't see people often come out and be like, we're going to be a network. We're going to be, I when you're saying you want to be on TV, right? That's already giving me what SportsCenter vibes, you know, look like and stuff like that. Like, you know, outside of the COVID crisis, you wouldn't see people broadcasting from a spare bedroom and being on TV.
Yeah, like if they came out and they did say like, hey, we are a TV channel and we're replacing what G4 did, that would make more sense to me. But like them evoking that stuff and then coming out and saying like, a lot of the things that they're mentioning in their quotes here sound like things that to them, it sounds like they're saying something new, but all this doesn't sound like anything new to me. Like the quote, Ven is the nexus of gaming and media. And while most industries have stagnated, these two have taken off. It's like, what does that mean? Like,
problem with it. And then granted, like, I understand we're reading The Hollywood Reporter, which is not aimed at us. You know what I mean? That's aimed at people that dial into entertainment news a bit more. And I'm not even knocking it, but it just sounds, it's all so buzzwordy. Like, again, where we finish this and it's like, cool, I just read in an article about Ven Studio and I have no fucking idea what that actually looks like. What is this? You know what I mean? What are you doing? Now, granted, they had to move up and they're doing all these different things. I'm sure this isn't how they wanted to go about it, but.
Yeah.
So, hold like, on. I'm on Ven.tv, right?
Oh.
Called Gaming Entertainment U. Ven, Video Game Entertainment and News Network. Ven is a new kind of TV network for the streaming generation aimed at gaming, pop culture, and esports audiences. Beta, launching July 2020, live from Los Angeles, and later 3 World Trade Center in New York. Ven will be distributed across a broad range of media platforms and offer original programming produced in-house and in partnership with some of the biggest names and creators across industries. There you go, Doc.
Okay.
Doc and Ninja getting paid, I'm sure, eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that doesn't tell you anymore. I mean, it gives you a little bit of a glimpse. Okay, so it's news and entertainment, but like, what is that actually going to look like? How's it going to go?
Yeah, and I'm looking at the quote here, right? It's going to be everywhere, and this is from the Hollywood Reporter article. It's going to be everywhere. We're calling it a universal network. That means that anywhere that consumers are consuming content, right? And they're talking about like YouTube, Twitch, all that stuff, I guess. My issue is what I stated earlier, right? It sounds like they're talking about things as if they're new, but these are all things that have been done before by, I mean, like, you know, we're doing it right now. IGN is on YouTube, Twitch, and all these things, and they cover news and entertainment and all that stuff. GameSpot is the thing that exists. Like, I want to know what about Ven makes it particularly different. And maybe it is just a thing of like, hey, we're just going to be another one of those, which cool. Like, I I'm down to see like you guys attempt to do that. But where I'm at right now, I'm not necessarily at a place where I feel like I got to pay attention to them.
Totally. It is worth pointing out, of course, you know, I know how many people watch us and are in the industry and want to get involved deeper in the industry. Venn.tv, that's VENN.TV/careers. They have a whole bunch of stuff up here, including a games editorial director, live broadcaster, live broadcast producer, showrunner, manager of development, digital formats, showrunner late night, director of on-air talent. I don't know Venn from Adam. Don't know anything about him. This could either be really cool or it could be totally lame.
I could be a show director.
Exactly. No, Bless. You don't. Don't read this, Bless.
I'd like to add, Ven, Dr. Disrespect's real cool, but real expensive. We're pretty cheap. We'll sell out.
Hey, Ven, how you doing?
You name the price. You know,
especially me.
It's one of those things where, honestly, and this is going to sound like I'm a humble bragging. I'm not. So many people come up to us from the entertainment industry and like, hey, would you want to do stuff for TV? And we're always like, all right, yeah, what do you want us to do? Or what do you think? And like, well, no, what can't you create that you'd love to make on TV? And we're always like, oh, well, no, our audience is great. We can create anything we want on the internet. So I don't know. We're fine. And I had a conversation with somebody at E3. I won't name names. At E3 about they were trying to get their network was coming. And I wonder if it was Ven. The name Ven didn't come up to my knowledge. But it was like they were getting ready to try to do stuff. So we'll see. Maybe we sell Blessing and he is on Ven. He's the Ven.
Oh, guy. I'm for sale, Ven. Just give me a number. LA?
Why was that? Man. Why are you saying this so sexually like driven? That's woof.
Hey, listen,
I'm
just saying the words. You can interpret them how you want.
Let's stop being sexual, everybody. Let's stop being sexual and instead talk about our sponsor, Manscaped. Support for Kind of Funny Games Daily comes from Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. April is Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know one guy every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? So this is a reminder to all men listening, check yourself before you wreck yourself. Manscaped, in addition to providing the right tools and solutions for safe and easy manscaping, has partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Together, TCS and Manscaped are committed to raising awareness for the most common form of cancer in men aged 15 to 35, and giving support to fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer as part of their, quote, We Save Balls initiative. While you're down there cleaning up your sack, why not go ahead and give them a little investigation for lumps, changes in size, or any pain? Manscaped recommends you check yourself once a month. If you do feel any lumps, swelling, give your doctor a call. In addition to checking yourself regularly, you want to make sure your sack is looking fresh and clean, and that's why we're talking about the Perfect Package 3.0 from Manscaped. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 3.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your sack. Some of these liquid tools for your family jewels include the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant, the Crop Reviver, a spray-on ball toner and refresher. The Perfect Package 3.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxer briefs that will keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day long. Join the Manscaped movement and start taking care of your balls today. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Learn more about testicular cancer screening at manscaped.com/we-save-balls and share their educational video to help save lives and balls. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code GAMES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with the promo code GAMES. Your balls will thank you. Blessing.
Greg.
I'm glad we got out of the sexual ecosystem there. Talk about manscaping.
Sexual ecosystem.
Really good try, Greg. I'm proud of you.
But it's going to be so long before I get to fondle my balls. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shop, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, Dauntless is introducing the first ever in-game activity for players that doesn't involve hunting behemoths. Springtide ushers in the vernal equinox with a new type of hunt, specifically the hunt for eggs. The three-part hunt tasks slayers with tracking down eggs hidden across the island, traveling to a specified location to herd in the Shattered Isle's furriest new residents, the Puffle Hops, and then finally protecting the Puffle Hops from the Styxian invasion. This ends on April 23rd. You dorks. This week, GTA Online is offering triple rewards across several aerial combat themed modes, plus several gifts, rewards, and benefits spanning GTA money, clothing, and discounts. Beholder 2 is on Xbox One. Bridge 3 is on Switch. Gunbrick Reloaded is on Switch. Monster Viator is on Switch. Fight of the Animals is on Switch. AFL Evolution 2 is on PS4. Troubleshooter is on PS4. Blind Spot is on PC. Race Maniacs is on PC. I hope that's an auto race. The Procession to Calvary is on PC and Mac. Hinterhalt 3 is on PC and Mac. Bastard Little Zombie is on PC. Hold Down is on PC. Mask of Mists is on PC. Easy Puzzle Streets is on PC. And Wander Lust Trans-Siberian is on PC and Mac.
It's a big PC release day.
You know what I mean? Go ahead, everybody. Warm up your drivers. Get in there. You know what I mean, Blessing?
Yeah, man. Get your hard drives. Can't wait to play Race Maniacs.
Go ahead. Open Task Manager. Make sure nobody's eating up the CPU. New dates for you. A Fold Apart, which I've been excited for since we saw it, will release next week, April 17th, 2020, on Apple Arcade and Nintendo Switch and Windows via Steam. Today, developer Cradle Games and publisher Tiny Build have made the difficult decision to postpone the release of the upcoming dark sci-fi RPG Hellpoint, previously scheduled for a PC and console launch in April 2020. Now it has been delayed. Sunless Sea Submariner Edition will be available for download on the Switch on April 23rd and Xbox One April 24th. It's already available on PS4. Shooting Blaster Big Bang Boom is an arcade shoot-em-up bullet hell game coming to Steam on April 16th. Shooting Blaster Big Bang Boom. That's a title right there.
That's
right?
A great name for a game.
I can get it. And then there's a Pokemon Go update. Ever wanted to see who's at the top of their game in the Go Battle League? You know I have. On Friday, April 10th, you'll be able to launch with the launch of Go Battle League leaderboards on PokemonGoLive.com. The leaderboard is launching just after the Go Battle League changes from Ultra League to Master League, giving you an opportunity to see where you and others might stand right after the Go Battle League switches to a new format. Whew. Deals of the day for you. Epic Game Store has announced some freebies. You can currently get Close to the Sun and Sherlock Holmes Crime and Punishments until April 16th. Just Cause 4 then will be free from the 16th to the 23rd, and so will Wheels of Aurelia. Is that how you say that? How you say that one?
I think you nailed that. Wheels of Aurelia.
I'll take it. Meanwhile, Xbox Free Play days are happening. You can do Override Mech City Brawl this weekend through the end of Sunday. Hitman, the complete first season through the end of Sunday. And then Elder Scrolls Online, Tamriel Unlimited, is available until Tuesday right now for Xbox Free to Play.
I highly recommend people check out Hitman if you haven't already. I really love the modern Hitman games.
And Kevin loves Cause, so Just Cause 4 next week.
I do.
Let's get one reader mail in here. Of course, we'll do the other one in the post show and we'll have a great time. But I want to get this one here. Undergoat wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hello, gang. Are we digging this new PlayStation controller design? Because I don't think I am. I know everyone's design tastes are different, but while I like some of the angles and
iconography?
Yes. Why am I? I know that one. Sony went with. I really hate these colors. Blessing, we, of course, Gary Witt and I talked about this at length yesterday, a very, very long one, but you, co-host of PS I Love You XOXO with me, have not had a chance to say anything on the show. Where do you come down on this new DualSense?
At first, I was thrown off. Like, I didn't hate it at first. I've been at a place where I'm like, I don't love the colors. I don't love the mostly white bleeding into black design. Yeah. In terms of the form factor, I like how the form factor looks. Obviously, I'm not really going to be able to speak definitively until I hold it in my hands, but it looks like the shape of it looks good to me. Like I like this more than how the shape of it looks more than the PS4 controller, which PS4 controller is ergonomic, but like, I don't know, something about this strikes me better. But I don't like that they took away the colors of the buttons. I know Gary Wood kind of brought this up yesterday in terms of like how like you always associate like square with like pink or purple and triangle with like you associate each of the main symbols with certain colors. And so like for them to go colorless with it, I don't love as much, but like it's probably going to be a thing of like who cares by the time it actually comes out and you're actually playing game. But yeah, my biggest problem with it is I don't love the colors, but that's a thing that will get fixed. I mean, like, not fixed, but that's, there will be other controller variations to come out, and I can just get a different controller. Like, that's not like the biggest issue.
Do you think that when you see it next to the console, it'll click for you, the colors? That's what I'm hoping.
I'm hoping that I don't dislike the colors on the PS5. Because right now, like, this doesn't give me hope in terms of what the PS5 is going to look like. And really, what it doesn't really matter too much. But yeah, the idea that the PS5 design is going to reflect how the controller, it's going to mirror how the controller looks like. And it is like this mostly white and then like black highlights design. Yeah. In theory, right now, I don't love it. That said, the more I look at the PS5 controller, the more I'm like, it's growing on me. Like, at this point, like, I don't hate it. At the same time, in terms of how it looks, like the colors of it, I don't love it either. I like the touchpad and the light bar, what they've done with the light bar instead of having it on the back, having it like on each side of the touchpad. I like how that looks. And that seems to be like a very practical solution in terms of the light bar being on the back. I don't think really ever made sense aside from PSVR and that functionality. But in terms of how that light bar plays in practically when you're playing any other game, I've never really been a fan of that thing just being on in the back and you not seeing it, even though like in the in later iterations of the controller, they put the little line at the top.
Yeah.
I think this works a lot better than removing it from the back. I think it was a good decision. I like the logo instead of the circle button being in the middle. I think that's really cool. The microphone being built into the controller, I'm mixed on, because that makes me think I'm going to go into online games and everybody's just going to have
my people screaming and music playing and everything.
Just like people's families in the background. Like, I'd be playing Call of Duty for the last day. It's been ridiculous. I forgot how like just loud and toxic that people are on Call of Duty when you're just playing in whatever lobbies and you have your lobby audio on. Yeah. And so the idea of everybody having their mics just automatically in their controller, and that not being a barrier kind of fills me with a lot of fear. I am not feeling that. Also, I can't make the excuse anymore that I don't have a mic.
I can't talk to you. Sorry, I don't have a mic.
Yeah, it's my mic. My mic broke.
It's broken.
Hell no, I accidentally started my mic. I can't do that anymore, but whatever. Overall, I think it's good. I don't hate it.
Okay, good. I'm sure we'll talk more about it on PSL of UXOXO next week.
Yeah.
But for now, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Robbie Rob needs help on Steam. Robbie Rob's Steam name is Robbie Rob Plays. RobbyRobPlays. No spaces. Dear Kind of Funny best friends, the time has come to finally seek salvation from the dark times of this pandemic and join me in the virtual worlds of gaming. I have a wide selection of games and an HTC Vive to join in the virtual world. With all that aside, I still work, but usually online between 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. But usually online between 5 p.m. and 10 p.m. Pacific time, and always available to chat as well if gaming isn't needed right away. See you in the new world. Robbie Rob Plays. If you want to play some VR games with Robbie Rob Plays or just other Steam games like Solitaire or Minesweeper, hit him up on Steam. Robbie Rob Plays. Bless, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Kylar says, not a you're wrong, but breaking. Amazon delays New World to August 25th, 2020. Price 412 says Elden Ring delayed to 2021. I haven't checked any of these, by the way, so if they're jokes, sorry. Blackjack says, Greg, I believe Montreal is mostly English speaking, but French is the primary language. No, motherfucker, I've been to Montreal. No, shut your face. All right, it's a dual language city. Most of them are fine. Well, hey, when I had to go get measured for a suit or whatever in the middle of this thing, the woman didn't speak any English, so Jen had to do it. So don't act. No, you know what, Blackjack, you're timed out. You're timed out. Your time.
Sorry, Blackjack.
Yep. Those delays probably weren't real. There was a bunch of people in here trying to do the same.
Yeah, I know. So they've been doing that every single day.
They've been doing a bunch of bit.ly links in here. So yeah, it's on me. Sorry, I should have clicked on the link, but clearly it's the same link that everybody just wants me to click on.
Yeah. Just so y'all know, we know when you're being fake and you're wrong.
Do you guys want me to get the email that submitted that and send an insane amount of spam mail to them?
No, Kevin, we won't sync to anyone's names. Because I could.
Just say the word.
A lot of people just trying to editorialize here.
Yeah, people are... I'm not going to read them. Yeah.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. We have a post show to do. You can catch it on patreon.com/kindafunnygames if you want to. Head on over there. We love and appreciate you. But until next time, no. It's been our pleasure to serve you.
Then.